It's a gorgeous day here in Christchurch and the sun is shining. And I notice that looking out at all your bright, shining faces, I can't help but smile with delight and joy that we're all here doing this together. It's so amazing. And I wonder, how is your internal and external weather right now? The outer construction industry is in full force at my house today. I have men crawling all over my roof, kindly fixing a leak. Well, actually, they're replacing the building paper on the entire roof. Quite a big job. As well as the men in the street fixing the water main. So both still earthquake repairs nearly 10 years on. And that may impinge. We may hear some sounds this morning. I don't know. But I wanted to share that just to say that I know a number of you are also in a similar situation where there is some kind of work going on at your property, and that we're all in this together. There are at least four people in the world on an online home retreat at the moment with workmen crawling around their property. You're not alone. So it's a common experience, our common humanity. So I would like to begin today by offering some instruction on standing meditation. I mentioned standing yesterday as being a very helpful posture for steadiness and stability and that mountain-like quality, and very useful, particularly if we're tired or if we're dealing with something that's a little challenging, very strong posture. And so that's what I'd like to begin with today. And so I invite you to just stand up, and I don't know, perhaps we'll be seeing your ankles, but just stand up together. And we'll just do it for about 10 or 15 minutes. So, just beginning by coming into the body, the felt sense of the body, standing. And perhaps notice how good it feels to stand. It's a pretty remarkable thing that we can get around on just two limbs. So, noticing the firmness underfoot, maybe having the feet apart just a little bit for balance. And I just invite you to move the weight slowly from the left foot to the right foot, feeling that transfer of weight from one foot to the other. And then coming back to find a place of balance where the weight is on both feet equally. Likewise, now we can rock gently from backwards to forwards, from the heels to the toes. And feel how the weight transfers, what it feels like in that part of the body. And returning also to a position of balance between the heels and the toes. That's really important in this posture to bring a sense of being respectful. It can be not such an easy posture. It takes some resolve. And if at any time it becomes too much, then it's okay to sit down. So, bringing the attention to the feet, the contact with the earth. Feeling into that firmness, solidity, and support. The eyes can be closed or open. Sometimes it's helpful to have the eyes open so we don't lose our sense of balance. And just as with sitting, that sense of uprightness rising up from the base of the feet, from that foundation of support. We can allow the hands to just hang by the side, the shoulders to relax, and the knees can be just slightly bent, not locked in a straight position, but just flexible. In contact with our experience, present to the experience of standing, This is such a helpful posture if we're feeling at all drowsy. It's also a very powerful posture. A wholehearted engagement is needed. It's sometimes called the posture of no escape. We can't wander off. We can't fall asleep. We're here. And if you find that's a little too much, and you're starting to tense up in the breathing and the body, it's okay to just allow a little bit of movement, just a gentle rocking, or a little flexion of the knees, and then returning to stillness. We might notice the real sense of aliveness in this posture. And just noticing what it's like to be here right now, steady, standing. As we breathe in, we can bring the attention to the shoulders. And as we breathe out, we can let the attention drop to the feet. As a way of inviting the body to release tension. Attention to the shoulders on the in-breath. And falling to the feet on the out-breath. Relaxed. Noticing the sense of stillness, being rooted in the earth, the weight resting deeply through the feet into the ground. The subtle movements of the body. The flow of energy. Being awake. And as you hear the bell ring, once again, being with the simple experience of hearing the vibration of the eardrum, allowing that to resonate through you until the sound ends. And now just beginning to gradually move your body, moving your hands, moving your body from side to side, perhaps lifting one foot, lifting the other foot, and then very mindfully bending down and feeling the legs holding our weight as we come back down into the sitting posture, bringing mindfulness to that whole process of movement from standing to sitting. And so the standing posture is something that we can weave skillfully into our day, into our practice. The Buddha taught four postures: standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. And it can be, well, most of us don't have a mountain just outside. Many of us will have a tree. And it can be absolutely lovely to go and stand with your tree. Feel yourself rooted in the earth, along with your tree. So I encourage you this morning to try some tree meditation. So in cultivating presence here, we're learning to be connected, open, awake, to receive all experience without becoming caught or entangled or lost in the experience. And we learn to see all experiences as equal in their nature. They simply arise and pass, and that they do not in themselves provide us the basis for lasting happiness. Permanent satisfaction. Equally, learning to see them as not defining who or what we are. They're not me. They're just experiences arising and passing. And today we can extend our awareness to include thinking itself. The process of thoughts arising in the mind, and the experience of consciousness receiving these movements of energy, thoughts. There's a common idea out there that meditation is about stopping thoughts. So I just want to dispel that myth right now. Although thinking can stop temporarily, sometimes it just fades away. But we're not here to try to stop our thinking mind. There's an operation you can have to do that. It's not recommended. So our purpose here, rather than to stop the thinking mind, is to understand the thinking mind. To see what happens when we become caught up in the content of our thinking and the way that leads to entanglement and suffering. And we can see if that's a belief that we have, I have to stop my thoughts. It's just a thought. Can we see it as just a thought, not give it such credibility? And it's not that thinking is bad. Thinking is actually incredibly useful, and we wouldn't be able to navigate our way through life without it. But here the practice is to be just present with thought rather than being lost in it. We can notice how quickly we get caught up in thinking, identify and believe the stories that the thoughts tell. The thoughts are rather fleeting and ephemeral and arise and pass so quickly and can be so seductive and sticky. And that's why we leave them until a little bit later in the retreat, when the mind has some steadiness. So thoughts can take the form of concepts and also the form of images. Some people are more visual, and they see in pictures. That's still thinking. Others tend to receive concepts. That's still thinking. And when they arise, we can just simply recognize and know this is thinking. It can be helpful just to make a soft mental note, thinking. It's also very interesting to see that when we do get caught in the thinking, there's the first thought, and then the second, and then the next thought, and then liking or disliking, holding on, believing the whole story. And it's interesting in our language, we call it a train of thought. And it's like getting on that train. The trouble is, we don't know where the train's going. It doesn't have the destination written on the front. We can end up in some very forlorn places with our thinking. We can start off with something very pleasant. Have you noticed that? And wind up somewhere completely unpleasant. And the word for that in the Pali language, that train of thought, is papancha, P-A-P-A-N-C-H-A. And it means mental proliferation. The way that one thought leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And we get caught in it. So we can notice this constructing of our story. And at any point in the noticing, we can just let it all dissolve back into empty space. And each time we do this, we strengthen the habit of disidentification, of non-clinging, and we strengthen wisdom. So we're changing that neural patterning that then affects our state of mind and our response in the next moment. We may find also that we recognize certain themes or patterns or directions in our thinking. Perhaps towards the future, with planning, figuring out, worrying, or fantasy. Or perhaps the direction of our thoughts is more towards the present, with evaluating or comparing or judging ourselves or others, commentating on our experience. Or perhaps it's towards the past, remembering, analyzing, regretting, or feeling pride. And not to judge any of those, but just to notice what's our tendency there. Where do we go? And we can just name this kind of thought, future thought, excited thought, judgment, comparison, planning, worrying, wondering, confused, doubting. And that naming or soft mental noting can help us move from being lost in the thinking to an awareness of thinking, to seeing thinking just as thinking. And with recognizing themes in our thoughts, we might notice that we have a top 10 hit parade that just keep repeating. I remember one woman on a retreat some years ago, when she noticed this, you know, lamenting that she hardly ever had a new thought. It's just the old ones going round and round and round. So can we get familiar with our top 10? What's number one on your chart? We can also notice our tendency to identify with thought very strongly. We feel that it's me that's having this thought, or it's me that's making this thought. I'm making this thought happen. I'm thinking. Or that the thought is definitive of who or what I am and is somehow owned by me. That the thought comes because of the kind of person that I am. We can really find ourselves attempting to find a sense of who we are within our thoughts, and we hope for a self-image that's flattering or positive, as we wish to be seen or as we wish to see ourselves. So, you know, if our thoughts were all kind and wise and spacious and relaxed and sensitive and loving, we might feel quite content with our thinking and what it says about us. If our thoughts are angry and reactive and confused, judging, frustrated or impatient, then we might feel a bit concerned or perturbed about who we are. We don't want these thoughts. This is not how we want to be, not how we wish to be seen. So imagine if your thoughts were not just passing through your mind, but they were actually projected on the wall up in front of us, on the screen in front of us, so that everyone could see it. How would that be for us? If it was just our thoughts, not anyone else's, just our thoughts, and everyone else could look and see what we were thinking. Joseph Goldstein sometimes says, you know, if my students knew what I was thinking while I was sitting here on the cushion, they wouldn't come to my retreats. He's a very senior, much loved and respected teacher. Their thoughts have no shame. Minds have no shame whatsoever. Have you noticed that? Sometimes thoughts come into your mind and you just think, where did that come from? So anyway, what would we see? Well, we'd see variations of pretty much the same stuff, repeating, top 10. And we'd notice that we couldn't determine the program. We'd notice that we couldn't shut it off and show a different one. But if we saw everybody's thoughts being projected up on screens, we might realize that they weren't so very different to ours. And maybe we'd start to see that they're not so personal. They arise out of conditions and circumstances, out of contact, out of those dispositions and tendencies. Our history affects the thoughts which arise. And in the present moment, our job is not to control the thoughts, but simply to see them for what they are. To see that they're insubstantial. They're like dream images, bubbles in the mind. They come to the surface and pop. They're like clouds passing through the sky. The sky is not troubled by the presence of clouds or rain, and it's not particularly excited by rainbows. So likewise, can we respond to thought with wisdom? See them come in an instant. See how they pass away in an instant, all by themselves, if we don't grab onto them. We can let them dissolve back into empty space. Sometimes we might notice the space in between thoughts. We can see that thoughts don't flow continuously. Every thought has space around it. They arise out of that space and they return to it. And we might notice that some thoughts are really sticky. And often when thoughts are connected with an emotion, if we're aware of the emotion or the state of mind, sometimes we can just see the thoughts without being pulled in. And if the thoughts have a particular charge or a repetition to them, as I said yesterday, it's very helpful to turn attention to the body. Find out if there's an emotion there, a package of sensations, perhaps anxious or sad or maybe grieving, something that needs to be felt. Something that needs to be seen in the body and held with loving kindness. So rather than being caught in the narrowness of our thinking or the tightness of our mind, we can widen out to include the whole body to see what's going on. Be interested. And other times there's no emotional charge to the thoughts and the thoughts are just kind of random wandering thoughts, kind of pointless. It can be just the mind producing a little entertainment for itself. And when they have no emotional charge, then it can be a little easier then to watch them, to walk with them, to see them more clearly without being caught up in them. And after having taken a moment or two to notice the thought and it's arising or it's passing, we can just come back to the breath, to the breathing in the body. So today, if we notice some steadiness and we don't get completely lost in it, sometimes it's useful to notice the thoughts as thinking, like a bubble that forms and then bursts on a stream, like a cloud that forms and then dissolves in the sky. A thought is just a thought. The thought of yourself is not yourself. It's just a thought. And continuing to give the primary attention to breathing in the body, being open to the flow of experience of sound, sensations, sights, feeling tone that may arise, any emotional processes and states of mind. And then equally noticing when thinking arises. No need to take hold of it. No need to push it away. Can we develop an unconditional friendliness to our thoughts? Just, oh, hello, you again. And in the clear open space of conscious presence, thought simply moves. It's simply a movement of the mind, energy expressing itself in consciousness with a particular flavor. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Not being so concerned about whether we like the flavor or we don't like the flavor. To see if we can let them all be equal in our willingness to simply receive them, allow them to pass. So let's just stretch for 2 minutes and be back at 10:15, just really a couple of minutes, and then we'll sit together in this way.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.